ervaring.
Episode, is this 66?
66, yeah.
Episode 60 goddamn 6. Route 66, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, and I'm hosting today.
I'm your other host, Josh.
And yeah, it's fucking summertime. It is litty titty, and we back this week. Shout out to everybody who rocked with our impromptu conspiracy theory episode. I swear to God, we were not going to do a conspiracy episode.
That wasn't the plan.
Josh came in like, nope, we got other plans. We going to talk about this Alex Jones. And shout out to y'all on social media. What I say, yo, please stop tagging me in Alex Jones stuff. And y'all immediately tag me in even more, even crazier Alex Jones InfoWars conspiracy stuff. So, yeah, thank y'all for that. I didn't read or look at any of it. just so you know, y'all wasted y'all time. But, I appreciate the thought. You know? What's been going on, Josh?
I meant to bring this up last week, but I got, like, derailed. I got derailed from, because of Alex Jones. I went to, I took my kids, my son and my youngest daughter. Like, my youngest daughter's obsessed with wrestling, right?
Yeah.
So I took her and my son, and then my mom went. I didn't go. But I dropped them off down there to, like, there was, like, some kind of, like, tour to SummerSlam. Because now that, you know, like, everything is, like, a million different shows and it's all built up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I took them and I dropped them off. And as I was pulling out of, like, the parking lot for I was about to call it the First Union Center. It's definitely not the First Union Center no more.
Wells Fargo?
Wells Fargo Center.
Yeah.
I dropped them off down there. I was, like, spinning out of the parking lot. And dude was walking in with, like, a purple Macho Man Randy Savage shirt.
Ooh.
And I was like, should I have went? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm about to go on SeatGeek, get me an extra ticket.
Right.
Like, then I was like, oh, there ain't nobody in this shit that I know no more. Because I ain't watched that shit in forever.
Hell no.
Yo.
None of these niggas got masks.
No.
All of them have regular people names now.
None of them are from parts unknown.
Right. Right. None of them are from, like, a mystical island in the Pacific.
No, nobody's like that. I kind of wanted to go.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm like, I don't know none of these dudes. And it's not, like, it's the idea of it. It's the nostalgia that I would, like, oh, it's going to be dope. And I'd have been in there, like, 15 minutes and been like, this is not
like, this is trash. Yeah. Dog, I remember my mother and my father, God bless them both. I was real into wrestling as a kid, too. And they used to take us down to, like, the Civic Center and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we would go and, like, watch, like, the before it was WWE, the WWF matches, NWA and shit. We should go see that shit.
Yep.
And it was fly. Yep. It was fly. It was, like, dope, you know, for a kid to be, like, witnessing that.
Yeah.
And then, like, years later, when I was a teenager, we would go to South Philly and see ECW, which was a whole fucking a whole other world.
Yeah.
Shout out to ECW. You
see
know
Sabu,
I mean?
Like, cane somebody in the ring.
No, I really went. Shout out to my man Freddie and my man Abdul. We really went to see ECW one week, and we was down there, like, the Dudley Boys, before they was in WWE, they used to be ECW. And I remember, like, niggas was rumbling. I can't think of who they was fighting, but the Dudley Boys was rumbling these niggas, and they threw one of the boys in the audience, like, next to us.
Yeah.
And they was rumbling, and I pulled out a bottle and hit my man in the head with a bottle and shit. And we was, like, throwing shit at
people.
It was
encouraged in ECW.
Yes, 100%. The first time we went, I remember it was almost a riot at the gate because it used to be in, like, this warehouse and shit in South Philly. And I remember they were supposed to open up the gates at, like, 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, 2:05. 5, niggas was mad because they had to open the gates up. So niggas was like shaking the gates and kicking them and chanting like, open up, open up. We got in, niggas had like old school like Nintendos, hitting people in the heads with them. There was like a blow up sex doll.
It was like floating around.
It was fucking chaos. And I'm like 16. I'm like, yeah, this shit. It was absolute chaos.
Yeah. No, you know what my favorite shit was when it was like WCW or NWA, I think at the time, would be in like Japan. They do like the Japanese tour or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would have like Great Muda, Lucian Thunder Liger, and like all the dude, yo, I loved Great Muda, like the whole thing when he would like spit like green shit in your face.
Dog, Great Muda was the illest.
He would do the moonsalt all the time.
Yeah, yo.
Dog, I want to go, I'm about to go watch all that shit on YouTube.
Great shit.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I was sitting on my mom's porch with my nephew who's 16, yeah, and my brother, we were talking about like wrestling and shit. My brother, my nephew's like, it's always like a weird intergenerational debate when my nephew comes around, because my brother's like, all the rap you listen to is trash. And he's like, Uncle John, tell him that Lil Baby ain't trash. I'm like, I don't know him, young boy. I can't get on your side with that. But we were talking about wrestling, and I was like messing around with him, like, oh, y'all wrestlers is trash. Them niggas, they don't got no masks on no more. They not mysterious. Da 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 da. And well, he was like, well, who you like? Who you like? And I was like, the Great Muda. He's like cracking up, like I made that up. Everything from like Junkyard Dog, shit from our era. I was like, yo, he was a black dude, but he had like, he was like part Junkyard Dog, and he had chains and shit, and he would like growl at people. And my nephew's looking at me like, you're clearly high or you're making up all of this shit.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, wrestling was fantastical.
Yeah, Coco Beware.
Oh, Coco Beware was like half nigga, half bird. And like, when we just roll with it.
Dog,
it was cool.
I was trying to tell my kids, like, I was like Hakeem the African Dream.
Yo, that shit was wild problematic.
And like,
wild, because wasn't he was one man gang first.
He was one man gang first, and then he became Hakeem the African, because Slick was his manager. And then like, I was trying to tell him, like, I was like, yo, because she was she was all hype when I picked him. I was like, oh, you know, she was actually really upset because like there's a lot of like women's wrestlers now.
Yeah.
And her favorite wrestler wasn't there. Bella or something or other. She wasn't there, so she was kind of really upset because she didn't get to see the person she wanted to see.
Absolutely.
But you know, I was trying to talk to her and get her out of like being upset. And I was like, but y'all, I was like, yo, y'all wrestling trash. I was like, y'all don't got nobody that comes into the ring and throws a giant python on you on the while you like, you know, like you laid on the ring in the unconscious. You know what I mean? My kids was looking at me like, what are you talking about? I was like,
no,
Jake the Snake, he used to like DDT you, and then like while you was out, he would bring a damn snake out of a bag and lay it on top of you.
Throw a big ass snake on you. The ref would count down because the snake pinned you.
I was like, Mr. Perfect? With the perfect plex?
Yo.
You couldn't kick out of it.
Right. At all. When somebody hit the special move on you, you might as well be dead.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Yeah. No, but she's like, my daughter's got like a whole character she's created and everything like that. Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
She was like doing it for my mom, and she had like the microphone. Like, she had like a pencil, and it was like her microphone. And she was like,
shit.
Something like, Nyla Hurricane!
Yeah.
Like, she had the whole thing worked out. I was like, it made me like go back to being a kid and doing that. Like, you know what I mean?
Dog, we used to do that shit. We would be like, I remember at our school, it was like, we like picked up teams. We were going to have like a Royal Rumble kind of situation. And our school was like fenced in, like the playground was fenced in, like these like 15-foot-high fences. So we would do, like, the fake cage matches and shit. I remember one time we set up, like, this big Royal Rumble, and we was out there, like, you know, waiting for the other squad to show up. These niggas came with, like, 20 niggas, and they had, like, bike chains and shit, and they had, like, the belts, like, the styrofoam belts that you would buy at the wrestling events, and it was fly. Like, we used to do that, and, like, we wrestle on the porch, throw niggas off the porch and shit. Just, like, all kind of stuff.
Yeah, I thought my mom said them belts was, like, $150 at, like, the event.
Are you serious? Yeah. That makes sense, though, because I remember my mom bought me one. It's even my mom or my pops bought me one. And then after that, my mom was like, no, I'm going to just make you them joints. So my mom used to make, like, she used to, like, have, like, the gold, like, glitter and shit on her. She used to, like, make me belts when I was a kid.
Yeah, I had like, the wrestling buddy joint, the one that was, like, it was like a pillow.
Yeah.
Had like, and then you could, like, oh, you can wrestle with it and shit like that. Dog, I loved wrestling when I was a kid, dog. I loved it. But like you say, like, I don't know if the counter the characters are the same and shit anymore.
It's just, you know, I don't think that, honestly, this is a hot take. I don't think that professional wrestling knows how to write engaging characters without being racist or misogynist. So I think what's the blatant racism was taken out of it, they were like, oh, well, this is, like, it's one nigga named John Morrison who wrestles. This is John Morrison. He's like a regular nigga.
John Cena.
You know what I'm saying?
Just regular dudes.
This is regular dudes. It's bugged out. I was watching, I've been on for a lot of different reasons. I've been on, like, a crazy nostalgia trip lately. And I was watching, like, old ECW shit. And I was watching, like, the gangsters.
Yeah.
Oh, the niggas was so stereotypical. Like, they would literally do their wrestling promos in, like, an alley.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'd be like, well, we're not selling crack. We're chasing the Intercontinental Championship ECW. Like, what? Y'all niggas is crazy. Like, who were these people that they got to play these roles?
Well, the Million Dollar Man had a legit, like, black manservant.
He really did. He really did. And they named him Virgil. So this is another conspiracy. I did not come up with this. This is the internet produced this, probably Reddit. So the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, had a manservant, a black manservant named Virgil.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon had, I don't even want to say love hate, but like a contentious relationship with Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
Dusty Rhodes' real name was Virgil.
Oh, okay.
Dusty Rhodes was also, he resonated with black folks. He was raised in, like, the black church.
Because essentially his promos used to be, like,
he was preaching. He was preaching in his promos. So Dusty Rhodes was kind of associated with, like, you know, the poor black South, right? So niggas say that when Ted DiBiase, because you remember Ted DiBiase, he was just the Million Dollar Man.
Yes,
he didn't have Virgil at first.
Yeah.
They said that Vince McMahon created the Virgil character as like a caricature and a spite to Dusty Rhodes.
Ah.
Hot motherfucking tape. Yeah. Flaming. This shit, somebody like presented this right after Dusty Rhodes died. And people were writing like, you know, like the things on his, like think pieces on his career and all of that other stuff. But yeah, apparently that's a theory that's out there.
You remember his son was like the first gay character in one of the first gay characters.
Oh shit.
When he was Goldust.
Goldust,
yeah.
Fuck, I didn't even think about Goldust being gay, really.
Yeah, I remember like barely watching it at that point.
Yeah,
like,
I was checked out of wrestling at that point.
And they were talking about, like, he was like, he's the thing was, like, he wasn't, like, ambiguous. He was, like, ambiguously gay. You know?
Right.
But, like, I was telling my kids, like, you guys don't, like, they didn't have, like, they don't got no Ravishing Rick Rude character who would, like, come out to the ring and be like, oh, you fat cheesesteak eating.
Ravishing Rick Rude was the worst.
And he would have his opponent's faces, like, on his butt. On his, like, spray-painted wrestling pants.
Yeah.
So fucking good, dog.
Oh, my
God. Wrestling, like, I was like, once it became like these dudes had to be like super huge and all that shit, like they lost the character.
Right.
Like, Dusty Rhodes was like a fat, out of shape dude. Like,
he was so fat. I mean? And he would wrestle niggas for like 9 hours in the ring. And he'd be like, yo, how is this dude not having a heart attack by now?
And like, even Ric Flair at like his height. Wasn't like
he wasn't cut up like that. Nah, he had big arms. He was like a big guy, but he wasn't like cut up like
Hogan.
These dudes.
Hogan was like big, but he wasn't like so ridiculous. Like he, like all these wrestlers now look like cause even when The Rock was in wrestling, he wasn't as big as he is now.
Yeah,
and like all these dudes now, I see all look like bodybuilders now. Like yeah, they all look like body. They look like huge bodybuilders. Yeah, like they're ridiculously cut, and it's like. I don't know. I think, like, a lot of that character is gone now. Yeah.
They used to have, like, the little dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was, like, the Flyers. They would, like, jump around and do all kind of crazy stuff. Niggas was, like, mad skinny.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Fat dudes wrestling and shit.
Yeah.
This is different.
Yeah. If we, listen, man. Like, Big Van Vader, who just, like, passed away.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Just a big fat dude. Like, he was just a big fat dude. That's big all he was, dude. Yo. He was, like, a former football player or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. Ron Simmons. Ron Simmons, yeah.
Yeah, these dudes were just like big fat dudes. Yeah. Ron Simmons wasn't. He was built, but he used to play for like the Chargers or some shit like that. But a lot of these dudes were just like super like big fat dudes or like really athletic dudes and shit like that. Like now it's like, I don't know. It was all about like selling the character. You know what I mean? Like, dude, the Red Rooster used to come down to the ring with like his hair like spiked up like a rooster.
Yeah, I remember that shit. I'm trying to think of what my man name was. Fuck. He was a Flyer. He was a white guy, skinny, and he used to wear like a blue onesie. But he came out. He had a mask, and then, like, they unmasked him, and then he just wrestled, like, as that guy. I can't think of that dude's name, but I think he was, like, early 90s, this dude.
The name sounds familiar. Like, not name sounds familiar, like, the idea sounds familiar.
Yeah, I'm about to find this dude. I feel like his name was, like, Blue something.
The Blue Blazer or something?
Blue Blazer.
Yeah, my man. Yeah, yeah.
The Blue Blazer. I'm about to go on YouTube and look up Blue Blazer, yo. that was totally his name.
Welcome to the Serious Wrestling Podcast.
Clearly. Come on. The Blue Blazer. Yeah. He like, I think he was the Blue Blazer initially, and like they unmasked him, and then he just wrestled, you know, whatever his character was at that point. Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, shout out to wrestling being trash now.
Yeah.
Much like the real hip hop. Hip hop's dead, wrestling's dead.
Yeah, hip hop's dead, wrestling's dead.
Dog, shout out to niggas, yo. Because more specifically, shout out to hip hop fans. I shared a video. It was like College Humor.
Yeah, it was a College Humor. Though,
and it was like basically like a nostalgic rap fan, and it was a young lady arguing with her friend who was like an old school hip hop head, and it was so ridiculous, and it really just showed a lot of the hypocrisy in like these like intergenerational hip hop debates. And shout out to niggas jumping in my feed tight about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's upset.
Like, yeah, it's like, one, it's a joke. You know what I mean? Like, I love y'all. Yeah, that's cool. You have, like, another opinion. That's perfectly fine. You know what I mean? But it's like, one, it's a joke. But two, we not gonna sit and act like there aren't folks. Maybe not that extreme as it was in the skit. But we're not going to sit and act like folks don't act like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've literally had arguments with people who were like, well, the new hip-hop is too violent. It's too violent. Ice Cube literally had a group called the Lynch Mob.
Yeah.
Who talked about going in Korean grocery stores and shooting people on some, like, Menace to Society type shit.
Well, or they'll be like, oh, you know, these dudes now, they're just not complex and blah, blah, blah. I was like, Nori had, like, a huge hit, and it starts off... you know, I light a candle, run laps around the English Channel. Neptune's got a cocker spaniel.
Y'all niggas ain't know what that meant.
No.
Come on. None of us did.
So, like, it's like, come on, man. Like, that was, like, one of the biggest songs that year when it came out. Like,
and rap rap should be broad enough, and the culture and hip hop in general should be broad enough to have like different flavors. You know what I mean? Sometimes I want crazy lyrical shit. A lot of y'all niggas, what y'all consider lyrical shit, I don't even like that shit, for real, for real. Yeah, a lot of y'all niggas, you know, it's just like how fast a nigga can rap and throw out these dumb punchlines. I don't even like that shit a lot of times. But, like, it ought to be space for that. It ought to be space for party stuff, ignorant stuff, conscious stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we beat the drum about this being, oh, it's a culture. It's not just rap. It's a culture. It's not just the rap music industry. Then, you know, cultures are rich and varied.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's allow that. I'm not saying allow everything. You know what I mean? Because some shit is bullshit and some shit is destructive. But, you know, I guess it's like it's all opinion based.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like I mean like we talked about last week, like G-Funk has its own documentary coming out. It's a subgenre of the genre.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I mean? And like
absolutely.
That's allowed. Like that's a good thing to have. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
A lot of motherfuckers, it's crazy cuz a lot of cats when you know, certain stuff, time goes on, and, you know, people have a different perspective on things. I understand that. A lot of y'all motherfuckers wasn't rocking with, especially on the East Coast, y'all wasn't rocking with West Coast hip-hop.
No.
It wasn't considered, you know, all these records that people call classics. A lot of this stuff, y'all ain't even consider it hip-hop. It's like, oh, why is the source covering, you know, Snoop Dogg or whatever? That was a thing.
Yeah.
That was really a thing, you know? So it's just, I don't know, it's weird. It always seems like we're on, like, this hamster wheel of arguing about rap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And a lot of motherfuckers that argue about rap all day can't rap. You know what I'm saying?
So, facts.
Yeah, what are you really arguing about? And that's fine, you know what I mean? Because, you know, half the niggas that wrote everything that we read about jazz
couldn't play jazz.
You know what I mean? So that's cool, but just
the true American art form.
Shout out to jazz, and shout out to everybody who's fighting against this, you know, museum, you know, culture of jazz where they're trying to, like, you know, throw a suit on it and dig his grave. You know what I mean? It ought to be a living culture. I fear that kind of stuff happening with hip-hop,
too. Me too. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's cool that, like...
And the worst part is the real hip-hop heads are the ones who do it. They're the ones who are putting
the suit
on.
By not allowing evolution.
Yeah.
Absolutely. By not allowing evolution.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You want to talk about this Atlanta thing?
Yeah. It's fucking killing the Emmys. That is 16 Emmy nominations.
16 Emmys.
Insane.
Gambino gonna show up to the Emmys. Like, remember Janet Jackson when she won all them Grammys?
Yeah,
it's just like shit, ours. Yeah, yeah. He gonna come out that joint like that.
Yeah, I would just wear like a Grammy around my neck for the whole third season.
Mm-hmm. You got to.
You know what I mean? Or
you got
Emmy,
to.
Not a Grammy.
Emmy.
Yeah, I just wear one around my neck. Though.
Yeah.
Like, you know, fuck it.
Shout out to him. Is he gonna get an EGOT? Since we, you know, we give a shit about EGOTs now. Is he going to get an EGOT?
Yeah, he should get an Oscar for his role as Lando Calrissian in Han Solo.
Oh, snap. Okay.
Best supporting actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's give him that.
Get that out the way.
and he's going to get his Emmy.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get a bunch of Emmys.
He's going to get a Grammy eventually, you know what I mean? This is America. Fuck around and win a Grammy this year.
Right.
You know, because it'll be the it thing to be like, oh, you know, like, it's talking about America in these times. And, you know, Hollywood fake liberals will be like, oh, you know what I mean?
Don't trust no liberal white person that talks about these times. this political climate. Don't trust that shit.
This isn't the way, this isn't our America type
y'all
shit.
Gotta chill
it
out.
Definitely is.
It's totally
always America. And, like, then he just has to come up with a play.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Hamilton Part 2.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Hamilton Part 2. That'll work.
100%.
You know what I mean? Or he could do the Atlanta play. He could do a play on Atlanta.
Yo. He could, though.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't want it to happen.
No.
But he could do it.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So, I mean, yeah, fuck it. Yeah. We might as well just give him one now.
Just give him that
just
he got.
Just give him now.
Give him one to Saul Williams, too.
Yeah.
Y'all niggas stop just fighting on Saul Williams, yo.
Just on the strength.
Yeah.
Other TV stuff. Did you finish Luke Cage?
Totally did.
Okay, I didn't even start it.
Not season two?
Not season two, no.
Oh, snap. It is out of control.
Really? I heard it's better than season one.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Really?
I would say that.
Because I heard it's, like, more thorough all the way through. Like, because once my man passes in the first joint.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I didn't think it was as good. Yeah, once Cottonmouth dies in the first joint, I didn't think it was as good.
Yeah, absolutely. I would have held that for a while because he was so engaging.
Yeah, yeah.
But they might not have known how people were going to respond when they wrote the thing.
Exactly.
How people respond to that character.
I heard his sister gets even, like, crazier in this joint.
Yo, Alfrey Woodard?
Yeah.
AKA my pop's celebrity crush. Rest in peace to my pop. My mom brings that up every time we watch something with her in it. She's like, your dad loved Alfrey Woodard. But she's a fucking psycho in this.
Yeah, I heard.
Season two, though, was bugged out about it is because I recently went back to season one. And I was watching it, and she's, like, reasonable in season one.
Yeah.
They really wrote her character in season two. She's insane.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to give away any spoilers for you, but, like, mass murderous in season two.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the first season, she's kind of, like, trying to play the I'm still a politician type role.
Yeah,
like, you know
absolutely.
What I mean? I guess, like, once she's been exposed, that's kind of, like, can't do that anymore.
She's a hardcore psychopath.
Yeah,
in season two, and the guy who played the villain Bushmaster is really good.
I heard
too.
He's great. Yeah,
crazy villain.
And
crazy
heard, like,
villain.
He's in the line of like my man from Black Panther,
Killmonger.
Yeah. Even Thanos, in the sense of being like you're supposed to kind of have some kind of not sympathy for him,
yeah.
but understand his. Where he's coming from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He is one scene that I'll say he is breaking down like his family's history.
Mm-hmm.
They have him arrested, you know. Outer Wood police in comic book universes are gonna understand you can't arrest any of these people. But he's in custody and he starts going into like this monologue at these he's not even talking to them, he's talking at
mm-hmm.
these two white cops, and he breaks down like the history of his family and how his family in Jamaica were Maroons. Folks who don't know about Maroons kind of like a shorthand term for African rebels in the New World. So you had like the quote unquote Seminole Wars, where like in the South, where like the Maroon Africans. Some poor whites and Seminole Indians were fighting against, you know, the white ruling class in the South. And you had Maroons on the islands that would, you know, leave and, like, mix with the indigenous populations and, like, form resistance groups and all that stuff. So he's going into, like, the history of, like, the Maroons in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how they would lead, like, night raids against the plantations, and they would free slaves and kill masters and all. It's, like, real deep.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, yo, he's legitimately breaking down, like, the history of, like, African resistance in the New World.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, resistance against slavery. Because we, you know, it's especially relevant after, like, the whole Kanye thing about slavery being a choice. And then just seeing people debate that online, it made me really realize how little people understand about how hard and frequently Africans fought against slavery. It's just kind of this understanding that, or this misunderstanding or misconception that, you know, white folks showed up and were like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Africans kind of just laid down and took it.
Yeah, I mean, that's generally, like, what we were taught in school. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, well, there was slavery for so many years. And there was, like, some people that ran away, and Harriet Tubman, and,
absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You got, like, that, like, kind of outside. It's the same thing. It's like, oh, well, you know, the colonists came over here from, England and such, and, they colonized the New World, and they settled the New World. Never say colonized.
Right.
They settled the New World, and people die. You know, they were like, oh, well, there was some, they would fight. First, they shared their food with them. And, and then, like, oh, well, there was wars, and they fought because they weren't well-equipped and blah, blah, blah. Not saying, like, no, most indigenous people who died of, like, disease and stuff like that. Yeah. Not actually disease or, like, starvation from, like, when they moved further out west and they started killing off. Like, they would once they realized, like, how dependent on the buffalo the indigenous folks were, they would then, like kill off
100%.
Herds of the buffalo. So, like, they would have no food, yeah. no supplies, none of that kind of shit.
Jesus.
So.
Yeah. And you know, it makes perfect sense because America, like any other nation, exists in a historical continuum. The way that we view the past is relevant to what, you know, our actions that we take in the future.
Yeah.
So it makes total sense that they teach that African people, indigenous peoples, just kind of laid down and took
pacification,
this.
Pacification, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, if you teach pacification, you don't teach people like, oh, no, people rebelled.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I didn't learn about any real rebellion stuff until on my own, doing all the research. Not even in, like, the what you call it rebellion, like the France rebellion, where they were, like, you know, off with their heads type shit, where they were just cutting motherfuckers' heads off shit like that.
Actually,
I learned on my own, like doing other reading, not like reading shit in school, because they don't want to teach you to, like, take down the power structure. You know,
Dad Perez told you is this day schools.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As so it was real dope to see that in Luke Cage. The music is great.
Yeah.
The atmosphere of the whole thing is really dope. It's just fly. Like, they throw in all kind of, because, you know, it's essentially a war between the Jamaicans trying to, like, take over Bushmaster, and the Jamaicans trying to take over Harlem. It's a lot of real ill reggae playing,
okay,
you know, like reggae classics in the soundtrack.
I haven't watched simply because, like, I didn't watch any Iron Fist because I'd heard how bad it was.
Yeah.
And then I didn't watch The Defenders because I watched, like, the first two episodes and I was kind of bored and I was like,
right.
And I think I was kind of, and then I didn't watch the new season of Jessica Jones. So it was like, I'm kind of like, am I worn out of this, like, that Marvel wave of stuff? And I was like, I really liked the last season of Luke Cage because I felt, like, comfortable watching. Like, you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Like, it felt like a touchstone to me. And it's like, I don't know why I haven't, like, oh, it should feel, the second season I would think would feel the same way.
Yeah.
I think just because I had no interest in Iron Fist because I heard how bad it was. I watched The Defenders and thought that was boring.
Yeah.
And then, like, didn't watch Jessica Jones because I remember not loving this first season of Jessica Jones and being like, this kind of, like, there was good ideas in it, but it went too long. 13 episodes is too much.
Right.
And I was like,
yeah, I had that same feeling. They could have resolved that, you know, tidier.
Yeah, I mean, there was so much, like, oh, we got him, and he gets away. Oh, we got him, and he gets away. And it's like, that's just not, I don't know, I just didn't want that for 13 episodes.
Right.
And so, like, and then, like, not loving the end of season one of Luke Cage, once Cottonmouth died. So I was like, I don't know. But I've heard so many people talk about how good it is. I just haven't gotten into it. You know what I mean?
They put an interesting, you kind of see it coming, but they put an interesting little twist on the end of season two of Luke Cage that makes me really intrigued for season three.
I heard even Iron Fist isn't terrible in this because he pops up in an episode or two.
Yeah, he kind of it's a little cringy.
Yeah,
but you know,
I know, but
whatever.
I was like, part of the problem too is I never was like a Luke Cage comic book reader Power Man, Iron Fist at all. So like, it's not like I'm like, oh, I'm really nostalgic for these characters. I really don't even like. I didn't really even read like Daredevil or anything like that. I remember Daredevil from like the Spider-Man cartoon when we were kids. Like that's how I remember Daredevil.
See, I was into the whole mutant aspect.
Yeah, me too.
So
I read
X-Men
really
more
than anything
into,
else.
Like, X-Force and like X-Men and all of that. And like when they did like the reboot X-Men, like the Sentinels was like killing everybody and shit. That was really my wave. And I liked, you know, the Dark Phoenix and the Infinity Gauntlet. Like more cosmic stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I was never into like Ghost Rider. I had a bunch of Punisher joints, but I wasn't really into Punisher.
I like Spider-Man. I was into Spider-Man too.
Spider-Man was cool.
But I think part of that too is like he was like a high school kid. So he was a kid aspect of being like, oh well, you know what I mean? Like that's a way to end as a kid. Like Nah, I never was a huge Spider-Man. I mean, a huge, like, Power Man and Iron Fist thing. So
nah.
I'm going to get to it. I think I might start it this week because I kind of got to, like, I'm going through some stuff. So, like, I kind of got to get away from everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be a nice escape because it's not so super serious. It's just kind of, like, just fun shit. You know what I mean?
It's really good. Culturally, it's really black.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It feels like home and I wouldn't say warm because, you know, it's still, like, people getting killed and, like, crazy shit happening. But it just feels, like, dope and familiar.
Familiar is what I was looking for earlier. Yeah, that familiar feeling. That's the only thing, like, and one of the things I didn't love about it is he's not really, like, he's kind of just a brute force dude.
Right.
Where, like, Daredevil, it's, like, kung fu shit. Like, so it's a little more interesting to watch than, like, as far as, like, fight scene-wise. This is more like, oh, I rip a car door off and I walk through people. You know what I mean?
Season 2, especially when Bushmaster is introduced, not to give it away, but he makes Luke Cage fight.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, fight.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so, I think I'm going to sit down. I think I'm going to start it tonight while I'm at work.
Work.
Because I don't want to work, so.
Fuck work. Fuck work.
And on more entertainment stuff, like, as far as, like, TV and movie stuff, Black Thought, Slug, and Snoop all bought out theaters for Sorry to Bother You, Boots Riley's project.
Yo, Boots Riley is doing his fucking thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can go from, like, underground rap and you're a hardcore Marxist to, like, taking over Hollywood, but my man is
He's doing it.
He's really doing it. I haven't seen it yet. You know, folks know.
No, I wanted to see it this weekend, this past weekend. I didn't do really anything. I kind of slept the whole weekend away.
It's still kind of, like, difficult for me to
get around,
move around, know what I mean, with my legs and shit.
Yeah.
So, I didn't go.
I may go Sunday. Because I want to see that, and I want to see The Equalizer, too.
Denzel.
So I may go Sunday and, like, I want to pay to get into both of them. I would just sneak in, do the old school shit where I go buy a ticket to go to one movie, go see that, and then go sneak into another movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of want to support both of them because I fuck with Anton Fuqua and shit like that. Yeah. So
Definitely, I would say go see
Sorry to Bother You. I'm definitely going to pay for Sorry to Bother You.
Because, you know, they trying to get on, like, more screens and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to open wider this week. That was another thing, too. Like, the only places that had it was, like, nothing was, like, super close to me.
Right.
And it was, like... Like I said, I don't know what, I'm going through some shit, so I don't know if it was just, like, I was kind of tired or just not in the best mood. Maybe my levels are off or something like that. I may need to, like, up my medicine. They did tell me, like, that may be an issue. I may need to up my medicine.
Word.
So that could legit be a thing. I definitely want to go see both of those.
Yeah.
And I might be going away this weekend. If I don't go away this weekend, I'm definitely going to go see both of them this weekend. But I think, no doubt, I'm going to go see Sorry to Bother You this weekend.
Yeah, I got to go see it. I don't know how, because it's still difficult for me to sit down for long times.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to play out. You know what I mean? But I've sat and watched movies.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Plus, you hate movies, so...
My legs will be bothering me, and my spirit will be bothering me.
Yeah.
Because I, according to Josh, I hate film.
Yeah. No, but I've heard it's insane. I heard it's like an acid trip.
Yeah.
Homie Steve saw it, right?
Shout out Steve. I think he did go see it.
But it's getting, like, rave reviews everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's getting rave reviews everywhere.
Shout out, like...
The homie L saw it too, I think.
Shout out L.
Yeah, she was there, I think, when Boots was there.
Yeah. See, that's the one I wanted to go
Me too.
To.
That was the one I wanted to go to.
Man.
I heard about it, like, on Saturday.
Right.
And then it was like, I don't know, man. I was out of it this weekend, man. I really was.
Shout out to Oakland too. Oakland is home to so many brilliant, creative black folks.
Yes.
And not even just now, but like a tradition of that. You know what I mean? And obviously the Black Panther Party was started there. Just shout out to Oakland and the whole Bay Area in general for being, like, brilliant. And then, you know, having to suffer through y'all terrible, arrogant Golden State Warriors team that we hate. And having to put up with all these white folks calling the cops on y'all for nothing. You notice that's happening a lot in the Bay?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a large part of like gentrification in that area.
I was gonna say I have theories on capitalism and gentrification and why white folks out there are being so reactionary to the Bay's black population. But yeah, shout out to y'all. You know, I don't like y'all's basketball team, but you know. The Sixers will see y'all in the finals.
Year,
yeah, soon enough.
Once we get this Kawhi trade settled and
are we getting Kawhi?
I don't know, dog. I don't think so. At Kawhi. This point. But that's all right because Markel Fultz about to come back, killing it,
dog. I want us to wait and get Klay Thompson.
Yeah, me too. I really want
Klay Thompson to leave. Play in Philly.
Yeah, me too. I really want that.
You know how happy I would be, yo. I've expressed that before on the podcast. You know what I mean? I really want Klay Thompson. That shit he's like Hershey Hawkins, but 1,000 times better. You know how much I would love that shit?
Well, you know what? We head out there soon.
Yeah.
We'll chop it up with him.
We gotta holler at Klay.
Yeah.
When are y'all out there when we swing out to the West Coast? When are y'all set up a meeting with Klay Thompson? So we get, you know, we're gonna bring in like some Max's, you know what I mean, cheesesteaks or whatever, big booty strippers.
Yeah.
And we gonna convince them. We're gonna do a little what they call it, the magic be doing, a little tampering.
Yeah, a little tampering.
You know what I'm saying?
But we don't work for the organization.
Nah,
you know what I mean?
It's cool.
But I would say this though, when we do like convince Klay to come here, that's gotta be courtside seats. I don't know how that cannot be courtside seats.
Listen, we stamping it right now. We gonna swing out to the West Coast soon.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the homies out there. We gonna get Klay Thompson to come to the Sixers. He gonna help lead us to a chip, and then the Sixers gotta give us lifetime
courtside
seats.
If
not a job in the organization itself.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. Exactly. Yo, we could play the music like down there or something like that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let us do something.
Definitely.
You know?
That would definitely be the move.
Let it head of personnel, maybe?
Yeah,
I don't
something
know.
Something like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely something like that.
Hell yeah.
One quick thing before we get out of here. We should do the What Are We Listening To segment. I just came across this. Jay-Z and Puffy invested millions into a startup called Promise.
Mm.
It's a decarceration program designed around like bail reform.
Wow.
It's like an app or something like that.
Wow.
And like it like helps people get like jobs, education.
Yeah.
And like it can like help track and follow them. And like check in with them and shit like
right,
that.
Right,
make
right.
sure like you know, make sure they show up and do the things that they're supposed to do. Help them with like legal stuff. Like a lot of times, like people just don't even know what papers they're signing and
right,
shit like
right.
that.
Wow.
But like, I mean, it's much needed. Obviously, like yeah. bail is. I mean, it's just terrible. Like you yeah. know what I mean. A lot of people.
The whole system is kind of designed to keep you in.
Yes.
You
yeah,
know.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to the homie Rhythm and Incense Trap and Yoga with the, you know, the what does the shirt
justice
say?
Justice system is criminal.
Yeah. The justice yeah. system is criminal.
Hell yeah. Truer words have never shown up on a T-shirt before.
Yeah.
Straight
yeah.
up.
And it's like the bail. I know like. Krasner's like doing some stuff here in the city about that stuff.
Yeah.
Of just like, yo, you can't hold people just because they're poor. Like that's essentially what you're doing.
That's
is
what
locking
it is.
People
it's
up
like debtor's prison.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't afford a bail, and so you sit in prison.
Yeah. The prison system has been doing that in different ways. We talked about it. I think we talked about it on a podcast before. The movie Life. You know
yes.
what I mean? Where you know that whole. I mean, in that situation, they gave them, you know, life in jail for a murder they didn't commit. But a lot of those folks in the South, you know, in the wake of, you know, like following, you know, slavery being abolished or whatever, they would just get you for like loitering.
Yeah.
And they would tack $100 fine onto the loitering.
And you couldn't afford to pay it.
You
and so they locked you up.
You black sharecropping in Mississippi in the 20s.
Yeah.
You can't pay $100 for nothing.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So they would throw you in the joint, lock you up, put you on a work camp, and you would still end up cultivating cotton or whatever, you know, building a railroad or whatever the state needed you to do for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And then for whatever minor infraction, you look at the overseer or the guard wrong, they add another $10, $20 and stuff. You know what I mean? They talk about it in the new Jim Crow.
Yeah.
How they would do this stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just to maintain slavery.
And I mean, now, you know, now it's just privatized prisons. And, you know, they were saying that they're going to be making millions off of the, like, these private companies are making millions off of locking up these immigrant children.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know there's a profit motive behind it.
And so, there's definitely a definite need for this, and they have to figure ways out of this. And you know, for two guys who get constantly shit on as far as like, oh, they don't do nothing for people, and where's their reach back? I mean, Puffy has an obviously mixed thing with, you know, ripping off artists and shit like that. But this is important. This is really, really important. And it's just another way, again, like, Jay-Z has reached back but doesn't, like, it's not talked about. Like, this is an article I came across from, like, 4 months ago.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So this has been out in the system for 4 months, and just people just haven't, you know, it's not talked about. But no, I think it's really dope, and it's good. Again, it's, you know, and it's investing in a startup company, a black-owned startup company, which is really important because, like, that is generally an area of, like, the Silicon Valley that is not, like, supported and that kind of
shit.
Come on. So, that's really, like, it's really dope, and I was like, you know, this is what we need to do, you know, like, as far in that arena. Like, when you have people with their money and access –
yeah,
that's really important. You know what I mean?
And, you know, a lot of people, like you said, criticize these folks who are wealthy, you know, and they're like, well, what are you doing? Or, you know, we can't trust their motivation behind stuff. And, you know, I get that. But then also, you got to look at it. You got to fight wars on multiple fronts. You know what I mean? So if we're working towards a society where there are no prisons, where there is no, you know, state having the power to incarcerate people and, you know, really snatch people's lives away from them, it can't hurt to have something like this out in the world that's getting more people out. You know what I'm saying? Especially folks that, you know, a lot of motherfuckers are locked up, you know, for shit they didn't do, or, you know, the police tampered with evidence, nonviolent offenses, you know, drug offenses that, you know, we currently have an industry of powerful people mobilizing around, you know, legalized marijuana. Yet and still, we're still locking people up
for, like, simple possession.
Come on, you know what I'm saying? So it can't hurt to have something like this in place and have prominent people supporting it, you know, to like, this could change somebody's life, to get people out, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, a system in general needs to be just changed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's a big thing. I think that's really important, and it's something that needs to be addressed. I wish it would get more light. Like, I wish this thing would be definitely getting more light. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And maybe, you know, with them using their power and money and influence, maybe it'll be something that people will hear about.
Yeah.
For overall, black radio, which isn't really black radio anymore, is really like urban radio that's owned by corporations, but they still gear it towards black folks and black culture, needs to be talking about stuff like this. You know what I mean? Y'all motherfuckers is yucking it up on the Steve Harvey show, you know, about prank phone calls or whatever the hell happens on like urban, contemporary urban radio now. Squeeze some of this shit in as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Squeeze some of that shit in as well.
Yeah.
I understand everybody like the fun. We, you know, like to have the fun and like we joke around and all of this other shit. You know what I mean? But we need to look at this kind of stuff too.
Balance is important.
100%.
Balance is important. But I'm pressed for time, so I gotta get ready to get out of here. But have you been listening to anything new?
Or old? I've been listening to all the old stuff. I'll say this. I'm working on a YouTube playlist. All obscure Philly 90s rap. So I'm going to do something with WXPN. Shout out to WXPN. That's basically a general historical overview of what Philly's underground rap scene was like in the 90s. And then just a crazy playlist of shit. So, like, you know, groups like Task Force, 100X, Badlands, I don't know, some of the later, like, Three Times Dope stuff.
X-Files.
I just was listening to X-Files, too. Outer Space.
Yeah.
Just, like, you know, all of the shit that, you know, we were into as kids.
Yeah.
So that's really what I've been listening to. So once I'm done, like, the playlist and the piece comes out, I'll link it to the podcast.
Word.
So that folks can check it out.
Word.
But that's really the way.
Yeah, I know you're working on that project.
Man.
I checked out the Childish Gambino Summer Pack, which is like those two summer songs.
Listen to that. Yeah,
they're
yeah.
really, really good. Really,
he's
like
killing
a Marvin Gaye like feel to him.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed those. Really, yeah. really enjoyed those.
His album, yo, he has another song. What is that shit called? Like Saturday or mm-hmm. something? I think he played it on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the same vibe as the Summer Pack.
Yeah.
Dog, when that shit come out, all the DJs going to be playing that joint.
Yeah, I think I don't mind. Like, I didn't mind him singing. Like, that wasn't a big thing. I didn't like the, like, I just felt like it was kind of like copy and paste on the other album.
Yeah, yeah.
I like this one. I like this wave a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Where it does, like, even though, like, it kind of, like, both these summer joints have, like, a real, like, Marvin feel to them. Like,
yeah.
like a definitely, like, what's going on type, like, just the sound. They don't sound like they were just copy and pasted. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, I'm really feeling these joints.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed them. Both of them have, like, a great summer vibe to them.
Yeah. That's how you know Gambino love the culture.
Yeah.
Because you got to give niggas a summer vibes.
Yeah.
It's summertime, feed us.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know? We
exactly.
out here trying to be acting a fool.
Hey, definitely.
Give us a soundtrack.
Definitely. So if you haven't checked those joints out, check them out.
Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But other than that, you know, fuck with us on all the different sites. Brooklyn Radio, Apple Podcasts, rate and review us.
Come on.
SoundCloud, subscribe. Tune in, Stitcher, subscribe to us there, all the different places. Bang with us and show love. We appreciate with your friends. That's how we get bigger.
Hell yeah.
You
know you rock with us. Play it for your friends.
Yeah.
Play it for your family.
Yeah, definitely.
Come on.
Let your mom listen to it. We haven't talked about like strip clubs in a while, yo. Like,
for
you
real.
Know what I mean? So we definitely, or no porn. We haven't talked about porn stuff in a long time.
We about to, though.
Yeah, no, the Urban
I can feel it.
Urban X Awards is getting ready to come up. So,
man. We gotta do like, I don't know how you feel about this, but I would love to do like a old school porn joint.
Oh, yeah, I'm with it.
Yeah. Bring out like Lana Sands or some shit.
Some Obsession.
You know, yeah. You know what I mean? Spontaneous Ecstasy.
Yeah.
Y'all niggas don't know about that.
Nah.
Y'all niggas don't know Nina Hartley.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? Bring that shit back.
Nah.
So we gotta do that.
Get some good shit like that. You know?
Yeah.
On all the different spots, bang with us, fuck with us on the social medias, and other than that, we out.
Peace.
Me and my fam take this rap shit serious.